Have you ever felt so connected to someone that it felt as though you held a piece of the other in yourself? As if you would always be connected, no matter how far away you might be. As if your spirits connected in some deep, mysterious, maybe even inexplicable way. In my first months of college, I remember thinking there was no way that I would make friends who I connected with as closely as my childhood friends from elementary and high school. But then I met a girl on my hall, and we just sort of clicked. We grew so close that the following year we decided to room together, and we shared everything. We laughed together, we cried together, we shared all of our frustrations and joys. So the summer after my sophomore year, when she called me to say that she would not be returning to the university where we both attended, I was devastated. I knew it was what was best for her. I knew she needed more time to discern what she wanted to do with her life before committing to a degree and spending all those tuition dollars. But even though I knew it was what needed to happen, it still hurt. It was like a piece of myself would be missing. The first person I really connected with at college would not be there the next year, and it was upsetting. We were both sad, but we promised to always stay in touch, and we did. And we had a connection, even though we were very far apart. I imagine Jesus must have been feeling some of these similar emotions when he said this prayer for his disciples in John 17. You see, they had walked through so much together. They were there at the beginning of his ministry. They saw people get angry at him and people fall down and worship him, and they stayed by his side either way. They watched him cry at the graveside of a dear friend, and they celebrated together when that friend's life was restored. They laughed together, cried together, shared every aspect of their lives for years, and now he was preparing to leave them forever, at least in a physical sense. And even though he knew this was what needed to happen, even though he knew he would need to let go eventually so that he could go to the cross, it still must have been so hard. When you share this many intense experiences with anyone, your spirits sync up in this inexplicable way, and that seems to be the case too for Jesus and his disciples. In this prayer that seems to go back and forth and on, he talks so deeply about this feeling of connection with the disciples, telling God about the ways that they believed in him and the ways that he believes in them as well. The disciples are perhaps the only people who really, truly accepted Jesus completely, seeing him at his most vulnerable. They were his friends, the people who knew him best. They had a special connection that Jesus wanted to help guard and preserve. He wishes that he could stay with them and support them and protect them from the things that might bring them harm, but he knows he will not physically be there to do that. How hard it is to know that you will no longer be able to be physically present with the people you care for and love. And Jesus knows his disciples will need care because it's a tough world out there. Hard times come, and the evil in this world can threaten to steal our hope and our joy. So he prays that they will be filled with his joy, and that their spirits will be protected from the devastating influence of evils in this world. He prays for them to be comforted and strengthened in their time of struggle. And as I read through this passage this week, it was Jesus' desire for the comfort and safety of his disciples that really struck me. I've heard this passage many times in my life, and for some reason, that part was always diminished in comparison to what I saw as Jesus' desire to preserve the faithfulness of his disciples in his absence. But as I read it again this week, I felt this passage isn't really about faithfulness at all. At least, not this specific part of it. In the previous chapter, Jesus states that he knows the disciples will abandon him. He knows that he will walk the path to the crucifixion alone. But he speaks these words to them anyway because he wants them to have comfort. And so we see Jesus speaking of how deeply he and the disciples are connected. So deeply that they know all that is in him, that they have accepted him and become one with him. And he compares this connection multiple times because this is what this passage is really about. He says, God, the words you've given me, I've given to them, and they received them. He says, God, we're so connected that I have been glorified in them. We're so connected that even though I don't belong to the world, they don't belong to the world either. He says, if I sanctify myself, they will be sanctified. That's how connected we are. So I don't think it is their faithfulness that he's concerned about in this passage, because he knows they are spiritually connected to one another. He does not pray that they never mess up. He prays that they will be secure, comforted, and full of his joy. He is essentially praying over them a grand blessing of shalom and well-being. Perhaps this is because he knows in order for them to fully live into this kingdom promise they have to experience shalom. They have to experience the well-being that comes from being connected to Jesus and the joy that comes from seeing beyond the troubles of this world into the hope of a new world through the Spirit. It's almost as if this combination of being connected to Jesus and shalom will be enough. Enough to help them survive and thrive as God's representatives in this world. I think as Anabaptists, sometimes we forget to just sit back and bask in that love and connection with Jesus. Not because we don't love Jesus, but because we are so in love with Jesus that we just feel this great need to go out and change the world. And that's an amazing thing. But changing the world is hard work. And it's slow work and tiring work. And work that is born out of an experience of love and comfort that we can only get from God. I know for me, the moments that I feel the most energized to go out and change the world are not the moments when I have been exposed to yet another story of heartbreak or hardship in the news. And although it's important to hear these stories and have these realizations that remind us of this world's great need for God's shalom, simply knowing that the world has problems is not enough to sustain us on the journey towards fixing them. We have to have a connection with Jesus that sustains us and connects us to this feeling and experience of shalom in our own lives. Our primary relationship with Jesus is not taskmaster and servant. He's not there saying, hey, how many lives have you changed this week, this year, this month? You need to increase your productivity. No. Our primary relationship with Jesus is one of love and caring. Jesus comforts and cares for us, giving us access to divine love and shalom even in the midst of challenges in our personal lives and in moments when we feel overwhelmed by how many places in this world actually need transformed. And when we can experience that love and shalom that Jesus has for us, we receive the strength we need to keep going and the motivation to help others experience that same love and shalom that has been so transforming to us. Jesus' promise in this passage seems to be an ongoing connection between his followers and himself. Even though he will no longer be physically present with them, this connection remains because of their deep love for each other and because of the closeness of their relationship. So, remember that friend that I talked to you about who dropped out of school after our sophomore year of college? Well, we did stay in touch in spite of our separation because we had become so close and our love for each other was so strong. And at one point during my junior year, we shared one of our regular phone calls to stay in touch. And I had this feeling as though I really needed to confess something to her, something that had happened since we had been physically distant from each other. You see, as close friends often do, we had not just shared, you know, the happy experiences or the frustrations of life or our deepest hopes and dreams. We also shared things that we found to be completely ridiculous. And one of those ridiculous things was skinny jeans. See, our college years were the years when women's fashion trends changed from flared-out bell-bottom type pants to skinny jeans. And as that transition was happening, she and I talked to each other, and we both said, "These skinny jeans are ridiculous. Like, how is this a thing? How is this comfortable? They completely hug your whole leg. You have no movement. It goes really tight around your ankles. We are never buying skinny jeans, no matter how popular they get." And yet, as I was on the phone that day, I found myself needing to confess to her that I had, in fact, bought a pair of skinny jeans. My first pair. And I didn't want to tell her, but I did. And she laughed and laughed. And then she said, "So did I." And in fact, we had happened to purchase our first pair of skinny jeans on the exact same day without even talking to each other. And as silly as that was, as insignificant or coincidental as it may seem, to us it became a symbol of our relationship, a symbol of our connection, and the way we were in sync with each other, even at a long distance, as we both continued to grow and change. And so, as I reflect on this kind of silly story about an old connection with a friend, it made me wonder, what are the moments like this skinny jeans coincidence that remind me of my connection to Jesus? Those moments when I realize that our spirits are in sync more than I realized, when I feel that deep, loving connection to the divine. Sometimes it might be Jesus calling out to me in the midst of the busyness and the chaos, saying, "Your work is good, but remember, I love you for who you are, not what you do." Sometimes it might be the reminder to come and rest and be filled with the love of Jesus, because the world can wait until tomorrow sometimes. And sometimes it's just sitting in silence on the porch or in the garden or by a flickering candle and receiving God's peace in a quiet moment. I wanted to spend some time towards the end of the sermon today giving us a couple moments of silence to reflect and think about those moments that remind us of our connections to Jesus. So I'm going to give us a couple minutes here to think about where are those spaces or those times or those interactions when you're reminded of your connection to the divine and God's love for you. And now I'm going to invite if anyone had a thought that they want to share, feel free to share it. If not, that's okay too. But I thought maybe if there are some of us who want to share those places or spaces where we feel connected to the divine, it might help some of the rest of us think of spaces that we might not have thought of. So feel free to speak anything out if you have something on your mind. We don't have a microphone, so if you have something, you're just going to have to call it out. Oh, you have a microphone? Yeah. Linda wants it.
My birth is on Saturday the 26th. And I hope my mother is alive. I don't worry about my mom, but I love her too much.
Birthdays are a special time, aren't they? They help us remember the uniqueness of our lives and the connection with our family who raised us, and in a lot of ways they can remind us too of our connection to God as well. So Linda, we look forward to celebrating with you. Wayne has something.
When we were singing the song Loving Spirit, coming to the third verse, like a father, you protect me, teach me the discerning eye. Hoist me up upon your shoulders, let me see the world from high. I had to pull out my phone and show Mary a picture that we got last night from Allison with William on top of Michael's shoulders. and I couldn't sing, I got choked up. I mean, I think that's the kind of perspective that particularly feels important to those of us who try to lead, that sense of sometimes getting up on high to be able to see the big picture that looks different when you're on someone's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And that image spoke to me of God's care.
Yeah. When you were talking about Jesus praying to God for his disciples because he was in that situation of knowing he wouldn't be there. I've been thinking a lot about a Billy Collins poem called Directions that was really evocative of my mom for me, and then it reminded me also of that situation. And it's a very long poem, but he talks about you know that path that goes off behind the house, and he gives all these instructions about how important it is to go off the path and up into the woods and into the solitude and the light coming down and experiencing nature. And it's all this emphasis on solitude. And then the very last stanza, he says, but, you know, before you go, stop by the house and knock on my door, and I'll go with you with my hand on your shoulder just as far as the edge of the yard, and then I'll watch you until you're out of sight. I mean, he says it more beautifully than that, but but it's that image of, yes, we have to go off and find our own way, but if we're lucky, we've had that hand on our shoulder and we know that someone is watching us as we go. And that's very much how I think about my mother's presence in my life, but I realize it's also how I think of God's presence in my life, and just that invisible hand on my shoulder and the eyes on my back as I'm going off into whatever new venture it might be. Mm-hmm.
I thought of God's painting the world so beautifully this morning after the rain. The greens were just brilliant, and then the dogwoods and azaleas as we drove here. Nobody but God could do that. in quiet times that I have at home, that solitude is very different than the solitude I experienced in these moments, Jessica. And I think I felt the pulse of all of us rather than just my own pulse. Mm-hmm. And that felt really good.
This is Steve. As many of you know, I spend a bit of time in Miami Beach in the spring and in the fall. And of course, I love the water, and I love to watch the water, and I experience God's love and care as I walk the beach in the morning or in the evening. But beyond that, in the morning, sometimes I'll sit at a Starbucks on the beach and hear there in that setting at least six different languages being spoken in that very multicultural setting, and I'm reminded in that time of God's vastness and his love for all of his creation.
Thank you for sharing some of what was on your hearts and minds this morning as we reflect on God's love for us. I want to close with a reminder of that love. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me, all of us, so much that Jesus does not send us out into the struggles of this world without first giving us the opportunity to receive comfort, love, and joy. In some ways, this is perhaps our greatest calling, to receive comfort, love, and joy from Jesus. For if we have not received it ourselves, how can we share it with a hurting world? So in the midst of life's demands, whether caring for families, neighbors, or friends, whether working or serving or going to school, may we make time to receive the love of Jesus, and may we be reminded that Jesus is always there, waiting to give us the comfort and the strength that we need to make it through. Amen.